Hello, Devlin Bishop here with you, and welcome to another edition of Devlin's Pirate Radio Show. And I am here, back with you, and this is the Easter show. Yes, because it's going to air the week of Easter, the long weekend for most. And I originally didn't know if I was going to make a big deal about Easter, because it's one of those holidays, you know, it's awesome, because you get, most people get 2 days off, not consecutive, but you get the Good Friday, and you get the Easter Sunday, and most people get it off. But, you know, Easter's always been kind of one of those weird, you know, I just feel, I'm not really sure how to celebrate it. You know, I don't have kids. I can see, you know, making eggs and all that. We, you know, we do little things. We decorate the house, you know, we put some, you know, bunny ornaments up and, you know, stuff like that. And we might buy a little bit, just a little bit of, like, chocolate and snacks. But, we, you know, we've gone past the point of, you know, where we buy a lot because it's just, it's not good for us. And honestly, I just feel sick all the time when I eat it, because if chocolate is in the house, it will be eaten. So, you know, Mike and I will just have, you know, a little bit around for the weekend, and that's about it. But I didn't know, should I make a big deal about Easter? And then I thought about it, and I said, you know what? It's still a holiday. It's one that, you know, most people still celebrate. And I decided that, yeah, I'm going to do a show. So, for the first segment, I thought I'd go through and come up with a couple of Easter tips, Easter holiday tips to make your holiday even better than it could be. Now, I'm not Martha Stewart, so if you're looking for stuff like, you know, what, you know, how long should you keep the ham in, or how many times should you glaze it, or what color is in style for your eggs to be, you know, should you marbleize them, should you, you know, put glitter on them, that's not me. I'm not your domestic, I'm sure there's 9 million podcasts that deal with that. My tips are all over the place, but I still think they're worthy to hear and for to help you make this holiday even more special. First of all, I'll start with the one that every holiday season should start with. Don't drink and drive. I know Easter's not known for being, you know, people going out and drinking, but let's be honest. It's a holiday, it's a long weekend for many, and so yes, there's going to be alcohol. And if you have the family over, or you're going to visit family this year, there's definitely going to be alcohol because, well, not just because you're celebrating with your family, but some families, you tend to drink. Now, I'm not a big drinker. I may have had a couple of sips of alcohol in the last decade. But, you know, I don't, you know, put people down for wanting to enjoy a drink, or, you know, whether they have wine or beer or any kind of hard liquor. You know, I don't begrudge anybody for wanting to do that. You know, go and have fun. But let's be responsible about it. Like, honestly, you know you're going to be drinking. So either, you know, arrange for having a designated driver, or just make sure you have money for a taxi home or some kind of transportation, like going on the bus. In this day and age, I really think it's sad that we still have to push don't drink and drive. You know, because, you know, it's been so instilled in us in the last several decades. But, you know, you still hear on the news after long weekends that alcohol was involved in a crash, that there are people that still stagger to their cars and probably deep down inside know they shouldn't be driving, but the stubbornness of them is just, and I hate that we have to, but we have to, because it's still happening. So smarten up out there and just take responsibility. You know, I did the self smart serve, where you serve drinks. And when I was reading it, I read all these, you read all these cases about, you know, the people that have been charged in cases. And immediately I realized that the person drinking is about the only one that doesn't take any responsibility for their actions. So let's take responsibility for our actions for a change. So if you know you're going to be drinking, make other arrangements. Yes, it does anger me a little bit, because I can't believe we still have to push that, but you know it still happens all the time. Okay, let's go to a lighter one right now, and this is for you people who like to get together and do the annual family Easter egg hunt, where you've now hard-boiled the eggs, and you've colored them, and now you're going to hide them so the kids can find them. Well, the Easter Bunny takes the eggs you make and hides them. Get a chart. You know, make sure you know where all those eggs are, because there is nothing more horrible than a couple of weeks later after Easter, and you start smelling something, and you realize, oh my God, we didn't find one of the eggs. And it makes it really bad, because they're hard-boiled, it takes a little longer for them to smell. So, yeah, you could be looking at, like, possibly, you know, July, August before this happens. Maybe not that long. But, yeah, keep a chart right where you're hiding them and make sure the kids have it all. Because, you know, most Easter egg hunts, there's always one that is not found. And you don't want to find it a little while later, or you don't want your dog or cat to be playing with it a couple of weeks afterwards and realizing they're chomping on something that should have long been gone. Now, for me, one of my biggest laughs about Easter is who came up, like, I know it's a Christian holiday, Catholic holiday, but who came up with the idea to have a holiday that you mix chocolate and hard-boiled eggs? Now, this combination is not pleasing, because you're looking at either, like, extreme gas or extreme constipation, maybe even a bit of both. And whoever thought that was a brilliant idea, well, thank you very much for that. There are some people that don't like eggs, but I happen to know that they will still dye eggs, and then just when they're done Easter, they will throw them away. Now, I personally enjoyed eating hard-boiled eggs. I remember, you know, after we found all the eggs, I'd love peeling them. And even if there was a crack in one and you could see, like, the spiny dye that came through, I used to love grabbing my, salts, or for me, Maggie. I always used to use this liquid salt thing that I was brought up with, and just enjoying a hard-boiled egg. But if your family isn't really into hard-boiled eggs, you know, there's a lot of alternatives out there now. They have a lot of those fake little plastic eggs that you can put even little candies in it, or a little, some kind of toy. Could even, if you're really creative, you could almost put, like, a murder mystery. Not a murder mystery, that's dark, sorry, I didn't mean that. I meant, like, a mystery, as in, one egg will lead you to the next egg, to the next egg, to the next egg, and then maybe at the end of it, that's where you have, like, their Easter gifts. A murder mystery. What am I thinking of? Anyhow, but there's lots of fake alternatives. I've even noticed Target this year had fake little eggs that you could actually still decorate, but it was just, like, a solid. And you could, like, draw on it, you could write on it and stuff. But, you know, if you don't, you know, don't waste food. That's horrible, especially in this, you know, time of need, you know, where people, you know, have trouble eating, you know, they can't find a meal, you know, you shouldn't be wasting eggs. So find alternatives if that's not your thing. Another tip is, you know, I know our first thing is to spoil the kids, but I really don't think Easter, you know, I know stores try to push, you know, buying them all the stuff, and just being in retail, I see a lot of people starting to buy a lot of gifts and chocolates and stuff for their kids, trying to almost make it like a second Christmas. I don't see the need for that. Your kids are going to remember the memories. They're not going to remember just how many Easter bunnies they got or how many gifts they had. They're going to remember the family get-togethers, the dinner you had, play with your games with your kids on, you know, Easter weekend. That's what they'll remember. I remember growing up, we used to get like maybe a bunny and maybe a small little, you know, a small little Easter, you know, a couple eggs or something. And then there was like a community basket that we would all share, the whole family, and that would have chocolates and jelly beans and all the stuff in it. And I think that is good enough. You know, if you want to get them a little toy or something, we used to get like maybe a stuffed animal or a little something outdoor that was spring, you know, you could use. Hopefully on the weekend. Nowadays, you never know if there's going to be a snowstorm on Easter or not, but so just don't overdo it. Now, I can't tell you how to, you know, if you want to spoil your kids, by all means, spoil your kids. But I'm just saying, it's not always has to be so gluttonous and materialistic. People complain about how holidays become this. But you know what? It's the people that are going out buying it that are making this. Because we can always say no. Just because they're putting it out there doesn't mean we have to support it. And you yourself, don't overindulge, because I tell you this, every year we used to buy tons of chocolate and stuff, and we'd have it around the house, and Mike and I would always say, it's in case we had guests, and we might get the odd guests, but you know, they've already been eating chocolate and stuff, so we wind up eating it. So a little tip on that is to make sure, buy it as close to Easter as possible, because if you are like me, if you have control, then by all means, buy it like a month beforehand. But I know if there's chocolate sitting there, I am going to eat it. I'm not going to like, you know what, I can always pick up more. And the worst feeling is when you get that, you know, gut feeling that, oh my God, I've eaten too much. And that used to happen all the time at Easter. Now it's better. The last couple of years, Mike and I have just said, you know, we'll do a little bit and that's it. And, you know, know your limits. If you know that there can't be chocolate in the house, because I've seen people buy it like 2 months in advance, and they always tell me the same thing. It's probably not going to last. So buy it as close to Easter as possible if you are that tempted by it. And trust me, I am. I know what you're going through. I feel your pain. Here's a strange one, but it is an experience I had. If you're going to experiment with food on Easter, rabbit might not be the best one if you have small children. I remember my dad constantly wanted to cook rabbit, and he always threatened to do it on Easter. You know, on a lot of kids, you know, the Easter bunny comes around. The last thing they want is on Easter Sunday to see something that looks like a cute little bunny with no fur, you know, getting ready for the dinner. So if you want to try rabbit, by all means, but maybe not Easter weekend, you know, maybe go with a nice ham or something. Again, I'm not saying this is the right thing to do, just little tips, because I remember being very traumatized when my dad even suggested, you know, having a rabbit. And last thing you need on Easter Sunday is after a pleasant day out, and then, wow, my God, rabbit! You know, your kids freaking out because they see, you know, Bugs Bunny's relatives or something, you know, cooking, I was going to say on a spit. That may be a tip in itself. You might want to use your oven instead of a spit, but probably good. But if you don't have kids and you don't have to worry about that, by all means, do what you like. This one's a funny one, because I think it's true. Let people be religious. When it comes to Christmas, I think Santa Claus is pretty much won over the, you know, birth of Jesus, you know. Again, Christmas is a Catholic holiday that eventually mainstream people took up. Atheists celebrated. I'm not sure why they do. And I think Santa is pretty much won over that. You know, I still, you know, they slowly take away, you know, when they play Christmas music, you don't hear, you know, like Hark the Herald Angels Sing or the religious Away in a Manger or Little Town of Bethlehem on radio stations anymore because it's offensive. But it is their holiday. But Easter, I still, for me, think still has a big religious overtone. And I think even with the Easter Bunny, I still think Easter has got, you know, I think the religious aspect of it still is prominent, with Easter. And I'm not, you know, I'm not trying to be Bible thumping or anything. I do have my beliefs. I have my own spirituality. It's something you won't hear me talk about a lot, unless you ask me point blank. But I just think that, you know, everybody's allowed to believe what they want. You know, atheists can believe what they want, agnostics, you know, Buddhists, Jewish people. Let people be religious, whatever it is. And especially on this holiday, you know, where, you know, Jesus, you know, died for our sins and then rose again. Let people do this. You know, it's technically their holiday. We just like take it because we want some extra days off and to eat lots of sweets. And so we just adopt it. And, you know, even if, you know, maybe certain, you know, atheists are like, oh, but, you know, I can't believe they believe all that whole, you know, the crucifixion, and then he comes back. Well, remember, you took their holiday, and that means you believe in a giant rabbit going around dropping off hard-boiled eggs and chocolate. So, you know, who has the right to tell anyone what they believe? So let people be religious. And my final Easter tip is, if you have the time, I strongly recommend you volunteering. You usually have to set this up, you know, maybe weeks in advance. Now, I like at a soup kitchen or any place that, you know, gives to the less fortunate. Over the past year or two, I've had the chance to volunteer, and I found it to be really rewarding, and it really made me see how blessed I was. How every meal I used to take for granted, even like making a sandwich, like at any moment I can just go and make a sandwich, whatever I want. You know, if I'm peckish at night and I've already had dinner and I want to go make a, you know, a bologna sandwich or peanut butter or whatever, I can do that. But there are families that don't have that. And it's great when you donate. And holidays, I suggest you donate and volunteer all year round, because around the holidays, they seem to get more. And honestly, sometimes they don't have a lot of volunteers and stuff on regular days. But you know what? Make it an effort. Even if you just book a time to go volunteer, and you can go online and find places, Salvation Army, there's lots of places that probably could use your help, and it's really rewarding. And even if they have a lot of people, because as I said, at the holidays, that's when everybody wants to volunteer, because everybody wants to feel good about themselves. But I say just do it any time. Even set it up around Easter, and even if you do it a couple weeks later, then by all means, that's how it should be done. And I think it's so rewarding, and it make you really appreciate what you have. And for me, I just think that it's something that should be considered to do. So there you go. Some helpful tips, maybe some more helpful than others, some maybe a little goofy. But hey, it's my Easter special, and that's how it's going to be. Anyhow, I'm going to take a bit of a break, and when I come back, I'm going to cover your Easter viewing. So I'm going to tell you some of the stuff that you can watch to make your Easter weekend a little bit more special.
Separated.
All right, we're back, and we're here in the middle of Devlin's very first Easter podcast. And so think about it. It's Easter weekend. You've just finished, you know, eating a nice Easter dinner. I don't know what you usually have. Maybe ham. Maybe some do turkey. You've had some hard-boiled eggs. You've had some desserts. You've had some chocolates. And now you're, like, loosening your belts or just want to just flop on the couch and just put something on. Well, I decided, since I am a fan of movies and television, that I would come up with a list of some of my favorite viewing pleasures during the Easter long weekend. Some you probably know about, and some you might not know about. So I put together a pretty... I like the list. I think it's a good list. It has something for everyone. And without further ado, let's take a look at some of my Easter viewing options. We'll start off with Jesus Christ Superstar. This is the movie version of the Andrew Lloyd Webber Broadway musical that came out in the 70s. And I really like this movie. It's not my favorite Andrew Lloyd Webber musical, but it's got such vibrant music, and I think the movie is pretty good. It's, you know, Easter, I mentioned earlier, is a very religious time, and I think it holds its religious time. And a lot of religious people didn't like this movie when it first came out. Not just because it's got some kick-ass, you know, music that's rock and contemporary at the time. You know, Jesus Christ Superstar. Yeah, I won't do that too often. But, you know, it just got some great music in it. But that's not the reason that they were upset. There was a lot of controversy surrounding this movie and Broadway musical, but the number one reason that most people didn't like it is because it just features the crucifixion of Christ and doesn't show him coming back. And a lot of religious groups don't like movies where it just ends with the crucifixion, and that's where a lot of the controversy happens, because they kind of downplay that aspect of it. And it's still a great movie. It holds up, and it's not one you'd think about playing Easter, but technically it is the Easter story. It's the events that lead up to the crucifixion, and they do it in song. And to be honest with you, if you're not a religious person but still enjoy the story, you can't do wrong with this one. It holds up pretty well, and just, you know, take a chance on it. I think you might enjoy it. The next one is the granddaddy of all Easter movies. It's The Ten Commandments. Cecil DeMille's grand... I can't remember how long this movie... It's a huge, epic movie that follows the events that lead up to the Ten Commandments. You know, it's got everything in there. The building of the pyramids, the brother rivals, you know, Moses being sent, you know, down the, you know, the Nile and being found. And of course, the parting of the Red Sea. And this used to always air on ABC. When I was growing up on ABC, Sunday night, this would be, everybody would be watching it. It originally came out in 1956, and it was a box office smash. And everybody went to see it just because it was so grand in scale. And it really is. It is still amazing when you see it. Now, I know some younger people can watch this and say, oh, the effects are horrible and that, but you've got to put everything in perspective. You've got to remember when this came out. We now live in a generation where we're kind of spoiled. Even crappy movies that come out right to DVD or TV series have awesome special effects. Everybody seems to be able to. You see people doing short films at home and they can kick off some awesome special effects. But in 1956, you didn't see these kind of movies come out every week. A movie like The Ten Commandments was an event because, you know, there wasn't these movies always coming out. And when you watch it, it still, to me, it's exciting to see, because I just imagine how mind blown. People must have saw this in the theater. Now, albeit there's a lot of stuff in it that's really kind of cheesy and stuff, but at the same time, this movie's got so much going for it. It's just so entertaining. Now, when they used to show it on ABC, I think this ran for like 5 hours because of... It's a long movie already, and they put all these commercials in it. So I remember as a kid, my parents were always like, well, you know, you can stay up and watch. And I'm thinking, yeah, I get to stay up. It's a school night, but I can stay up. And I remember I was out of there about like 3 hours in, and I go, you know what, I can't make it. I can't. I have since watched the whole movie, and it's not one I can watch a lot. But to be honest with you, every year I do tend to take it out of my DVD case and put it in and watch some of my favorite parts. Just it is quite long, but you know, the performances, Charlton Heston, Yul Brynner, they're just so amazing in it, and just so many great actors in it. I definitely recommend it if you've never seen it. And you know, if it's too long for you, you know, you can break it up in parts, or have a viewing party with your friends, and don't be afraid to, you know, do a little Mystery Science Theater 3000 to it. But it is a good movie, and if you're a movie buff, you really should have this in your list of movies to check out. Here's a movie people don't always think of about Easter, but I don't know why, because I think it's perfect. Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. Now, I'm talking about the 1971 version with Gene Wilder. If you're a fan of the Johnny Depp version that came out, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, power to you. I personally did not like it, and I actually think the darker movie and the more entertaining, enjoyable movie is the Gene Wilder movie. And I don't know why people don't think about this as an Easter movie, is because it's all about candy, and, you know, they have chocolate and gum and all this stuff, and I think it's a perfect Easter movie. What I've always loved about this movie is, you know, as a kid, I never really saw the dark elements in it because they're so hidden. And you know, when you see it, you, as an adult, you realize, wow, this is pretty dark. You know, it looks almost like all the kids are being offed one at a time. And Gene Wilder's performance is just very creepy, just the way he handles the kids and stuff. But at the same time, as a kid, I never saw all that. And I kind of like it that when I watch it now, I can see a darkness to it. I remember about a year ago, they mentioned that there's been a real hidden, dirty joke in that movie for a long time. If you remember, there's wallpaper that they lick. And, you know, it tastes like the plums taste like the plums, and the cherries taste like the cherries. And I think it's called snozzberries. They mention, oh, and the snozzberries taste like snozzberries. And, you know, there the kids are like, well, you know, what are snozzberries? Well, snozzberry apparently is an old English term for cock. So he's actually literally got these kids licking, you know, cock-flavored thing. And I don't know if anybody would admit to it, but apparently it's been something that's been hidden in the context of this a long, long time. But don't let that scare you away. If you have kids, they'll just probably enjoy it, just for what it is. They're not going to be picking out all the elements, like that boat ride with the, you know, the chickens getting their heads cut off and stuff like that, you know, in the background. It just, you know, I never caught that as a kid. And I know kids are supposed to be smarter now, but I think they'll just see it for what it is. If you are looking for something more, maybe not worried about, you know, licking cock wallpaper, Hop is not a horrible movie. This is the movie that came out a couple years ago that stars James Marsden, and it's kind of a live action that's got cartoon in it. And it's about the son of the Easter Bunny who decides he doesn't want to be an Easter Bunny. He wants to be a rock musician. And he winds up living with James Marsden and getting into all kinds of crazy adventures until he realizes, maybe I should become the next Easter Bunny. It's not a horrible movie. I know a lot of people didn't really like it. I found it quite entertaining. I was a little disturbed that they explained that jelly beans come from the Easter Bunny's ass, as in he poops Jelly beans? I have to admit that I'd never really looked at jelly beans the same way again. I tend to, like, pass because I thought that was a very unusual take on it. But you know what? It's not a bad movie. What I find to be a much better movie for kids, and again, critics really ripped on this, but I think it's a phenomenal movie, Rise of the Guardians. It's where Jack Frost teams up with Santa Claus, the Easter Bunny, the Tooth Fairy, the Sandman, there's a whole bunch, and they fight, I believe it's the Boogeyman. And I really love this movie. I think it's just absolutely charming. I think it works at Christmas. I think it works at Easter. You could just watch this any time, and it is just such a nice movie. And there's a lot of action in it, but there is a nice feel to it about, you know, kids' beliefs and things, and how, you know, as they grow older, they die, and you kind of hold on to that. And I just think it's a fabulous movie. I know some people didn't like it, but hell, I did. I think it's a great one. And if you're looking for just some classic fun, you know, just for maybe, you know, the kids probably won't sit through this, but if you're just like a fan of old movies that just make you smile, you can't do worse than Easter Parade with Judy Garland and Fred Astaire. It's just got some great musical numbers, and it goes back to the days when they kept releasing musicals, and they're really feel-good musicals. You know, there wasn't much in the way of plot. It just had a standard little plot, but it's just a feel-good film. So, by all means, check that out if you're a movie buff and just want something just very entertaining and light. As far as Easter specials go, there are more and more coming out, but obviously Easter doesn't have the gluttony of Christmas specials as Easter does. Easter doesn't have the gluttony that Christmas does, I think I'm trying to say. But there are a couple that stand out to me. Rankin and Bass, who gave us all those great Christmas Rudolph specials, like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and Frosty the Snowman and Year Without a Santa Claus. They actually have a couple of Easter ones. In fact, they've got a couple, like Here Comes Peter Cottontail. They've done a couple on the Easter Bunny. My favorite is Easter Bunny is Coming to Town. Now, this is probably my favorite because my favorite Rankin and Bass Christmas one is Santa Claus is Coming to Town. And basically, this is almost a point-to-point ripoff of that one. It basically tells you the life story of Sonny the Bunny, who becomes the Easter Bunny, and basically plays out with, here's how we got this, here's how we got this tradition, here's how this started happening. And it's not as good as Santa Claus is Coming to Town. But as far as the Rankin and Bass ones go, this is their best. The songs are absolutely sound made up. They are like, they just sound atrocious. Not compared to, like, you know, the Rankin and Bass songs in their Christmas ones. But you know what? It's still worth a look if you can find it. The Peanuts always, I think they have something for every holiday. And, of course, their Easter one is It's the Easter Beagle, Charlie Brown. I think this is one of their better ones. They have done some questionable ones. I think their best will always be the Christmas special, Charlie Brown Christmas. It's just so classic. And this one is nice. There's some good comedy bits in it, you know, seeing Marcy and Peppermint Patty trying desperately to paint eggs, and there's some great commentary about stores already getting ready for Christmas, which I think Charles Schulz nailed right on the head. Like, he knew about all this, you know, overhyping and merchandising and, you know, over marketing seasons, and he has a great tribute to that in this too. My most disturbing part of this one for me is in the Christmas special, which is, you know, as I said, the best of the Charlie Brown Christmas specials, is Linus has that wonderful speech where he talks about how, you know, the baby Jesus was born and everybody rejoiced, and it's a beautiful little scene. But it disturbs me that in the Easter one, that he seems to have lost his religious edge, and now he's just waiting for a beagle that delivers eggs. It's odd. And it does bother me, but I still think it's one of their better ones, and it probably comes in, I'd rank it number four in their specials, with Thanksgiving, Halloween, and Christmas higher up. But it's the Easter Beagle, still works, and it's grand. Another one I'd like to talk about is one that I think you can find on YouTube, because I don't think it's ever come out on DVD. It's an actual Christian-oriented one. I think it's the Lutheran Church. They did a lot of those specials. But it's a one called Easter Is, and it stars Benji and Waldo, which is a boy and his dog. And I remember they're making these posters to celebrate Easter. And I just always remember Benji's poster with the really happy Jesus. And that's what I get most out of it. It's really sappy, and it's very heavy on the Christian side of it, but it's still one to check out. And I bet you if you're somebody in my age group, the 30s, 40s, I bet you if you go and type Easter Is Benji and Waldo in YouTube, and if you find it, you will remember they used to play this all the time. Then it just kind of disappeared, and you'll remember that groovy poster of Jesus. Now, I did want to offer a couple alternatives, because some people just don't want to be, I just don't want to watch Ten Commandments because everybody's watching that or something like that. So I have three that are alternative Easter shows that you could watch. And number one is Donnie Darko. This is Jake Gyllenhaal plays a teenager who's dealing with a lot of mental issues, and he starts seeing this giant rabbit, and the rabbit kind of leads him to do some very bad things. Now, this movie is not a feel-good movie in any way. I love this movie, but you have to be in a certain mood to watch this, because it is dark. It's Darko. It lives up to its name. But you know what? There's a big homicidal-promoting rabbit in it. And so that's kind of got an Easter edge. Another one, how about Aliens? Yeah, the sequel to Alien. You could watch both of them. There's nothing to say you can't. But you know what? Aliens is, you know, Ripley comes back after, like, being asleep for 47 years. And she's back on the ship finding out that the aliens are still around. And basically, they go searching for the nest. And, you know, try to deal with the queen who's protecting her eggs. So basically, Aliens is an Easter egg hunt movie. Okay, an egg hunt movie, but you know what? It counts. It qualifies. And it's an action-packed movie. It's a really great one, and I think it would be a nice alternative to watch for Easter. And finally, Kevin Smith's Dogma. He basically takes various stories from the Bible and gives them a hip contemporary feel. This is gnarly. It's got some gross moments. It's got dirty moments. But it's got so many religious overtones that it actually would make a good Easter movie, you know. I think it's fun. And it's got, you know, Buddy Jesus in it. You know, the Jesus with the thumbs up and the smile. Almost like the poster in the other special I mentioned. But, you know, Buddy Jesus just makes me feel good when I see him. And I think Dogma should be an annual Easter tradition to see. So anyhow, there's some viewing ideas for you. Take them or leave them, whatever the case is. But, you know, definitely check some of these out. I tried to get something for everyone. And who knows? You can send me your ideas, what you want, you know, watch for Easter stuff, you know, send them in comments or write me. And I'm interested to see what you watch. But that's some of the stuff that I will be watching this Easter weekend. And when I come back, I'm going to change up the tone just a touch, and we're going to go a little bit serious. But I think it has to be done. So I'll see you in a few. just a minute.
In this proud land we grew up strong. We were wanted all along. I was taught to fight, taught to win. I never thought I could fail. No fight left, or so it seems. I am a man whose dreams have all deserted. I've changed my face, I've changed my name. But no one wants you when you lose.
Don't give up, 'cause you have.
Alright, I'm back, and I'm going to change up the tone a little bit here. I've been keeping our Easter special kind of lighthearted because, hey, it's a long weekend. But I'm going to change the tone because I think it's something that has to be talked about. I didn't know if I really wanted to talk about it so soon in the run, but I think all holidays, you almost have to think about this because holidays for some are just an amazing time spending time with your family or your friends. And for others, it can be very lonely time, and I kind of want to talk about suicide. Just hearing the word probably sent shivers down some of your spines and just put images in your head that you just didn't need to be there. But I think we need to talk about it. It's just too important not to. I think most people, even if they want to admit it or not, have thought about it at one time or another. And if you are one of the people that haven't, I am so happy that you've never thought of it, because of the fact that it is something I would not wish those thoughts even on, like, if I had, like, an enemy. I would not want them to deal with that, only because I have dealt with suicidal feelings, and I think anybody out there who has knows it's not a good thing. But of course, the holidays, you know, mostly people talk about Christmas and suicide, but to be honest with you, most holidays probably bring the thoughts in their heads, and I'm almost embarrassed to talk about this, only because of the fact that I feel a little bit like I'm letting people down, or people will see me as weak because I did have thoughts of suicide, and not just, you know, once or twice. But as I said, I think most people have grappled with it one time in their life or another, and if they haven't grappled with it, they at least know somebody who's either tried or has an unfortunately succeeded. And I'm also, like, for me, I think of suicide as very cowardly, because it's very selfish. You're not thinking about anyone else. It's just you're thinking 100% about yourself, and you're not even giving yourself a chance. But then again, I'd be a hypocrite if I said that I haven't been there. Because I have. It was something I've grappled with when I was a lot younger. I think the worst time was when I was 24 years old. I actually had a date planned that I was actually going to kill myself. And again, this isn't easy for me to talk about, but I feel it has to. Even if I convince one person to seek help, or one person can see that there is another person that has felt this, then I have succeeded in opening some eyes or hearts. When I was 24, I can't even remember why I was feeling so low, but I was dealing with coming out and whether I should or not, And I just felt that I was so alone, even though when I look at it now, I never was. There was always friends there. There was always family. But again, anybody who's ever felt this knows that it's sometimes just, it's there. And I think I'd even surprise the closest people to me if they knew just how close I came to doing it when I was 24. Notes were written. Knives were sharpened. The day was planned. I even kind of made a soundtrack to play at my funeral, because that's just what I would do. That basically had a note with it that said, if you want to know where my head was at, just listen to the lyrics of this song. And I painstakingly remember putting this group of songs together that told where I was. And I know, in hindsight, it sounds horrible and ridiculous, but that's the way I was. Everything I do is over the top and passionate and crazy. And that night, I was convinced that that was my night on, last night on Earth. As I said, I had letters written to people. I had everything ready. I remember sitting there for the whole night, just rubbing the knife, you know, around my wrists, and just, you know, running it under my neck, you know, under my chin. I just liked feeling the steel. And I kind of started talking to myself, and I just started thinking of all the things in my life that were positive. You know, earlier in the day, I had talked to some friends, and I talked to some of my family, my brother Paul. I talked to both my parents. And they had no idea I was upstairs getting ready to end my life. And as I said, I'm a little embarrassed by talking about it, but it has to be said sometimes. And the more I talked about all the things in my life, I started realizing that I was blessed, and I needed for myself to see what my life would bring me. Like, what the next chapters were, how old I grow, what adventures, what new people. When I just think of, if I killed myself at 24, the amazing people and the amazing things that I have done that I would miss, it just eats me inside to think, if I ended it there, I wouldn't have known how high I could fly. I know that sounds cliche, but you know what I mean. I wouldn't know just how far I could take things. So I actually talked myself out of it, and notes were destroyed, music was never played, and only some really close people knew how bad it got. Some people aren't as lucky as me. They don't have the ability to talk themselves out of it, and they don't get to see what their future is. I'm bringing this up now because I've mentioned that I've been going through a dark period that I haven't been through in a long time. And I hit rock bottom a couple of weeks ago. And I had some thoughts about suicide again. I hated myself that I did. Because I have so much in my life. But you know, when you're going through this, you don't plan it. It just happens. And I knew it would never get to that point. I knew I wouldn't take my life. But it was so much of a concern that I did feel I had to tell Mike. And to tell Mike that I had these thoughts and worrying that he might think that he wasn't enough for me or he couldn't help me was probably one of the hardest things I had to do. But I do believe in the power of talking things out, and I knew as once I got it out there that I could talk things over with him. And eventually I did what I did before. I need to work it out on my own. And I did. That is what I considered rock bottom with all this stuff that's been happening in 2015. And since that time of dealing with it, grasping it, I've been on an upward climb again. And I'm so lucky that I have amazing people I can talk to and people that remind me that they're there for me. Because some people don't have that. And again, it's probably a thing I take for granted. I try not to. I try to reach out anytime I can to people. If I see they're having a bad time, I'll send a little note. You know, try to be there for them. And it's nice to know there's people there for me. I know it's a feeling that most of us feel. The thing that bothered me this time around was the fact that I know better. At 24, you don't know where your life's going to go. You get the image of being alone. You get the image of never finding people that'll understand you. You get the image that you're going to have to play a role for the rest of your life, but that's not true. You can be yourself, and you can find people that will accept you. A lot of the people that are alone, they kind of choose to be that way. They don't reach out. They don't go and try new things. They don't try to meet new people. But I know it's not as easy as just saying, I hope everything's okay. I know that. I'm not that naive. There are people that literally have bad situations, worse than I've ever had. And you know, I wish you could magically talk to things, but sometimes you need more. Like, I have great sounding board. I have probably a ton of people I could call up at any minute, and they'd go and have a coffee with me, or take a walk in a park with me, or just sit, and I can talk to. Sometimes I don't like to burden them, and I really don't like to be weak in front of people. I know that might surprise a lot of you, because I'm so sensitive that I'm always, you know, it seems like I'm always expressing myself, but there are moments that I keep things hidden. And when I get to that point, and what really scared me is that I haven't been to this low level in so long. Now, it only lasted a short time, but I still had to deal with it because I did go there again. And I'm glad it was just a short visit. But I know there's literally people that deal with this, and it's like they're in hell. It saddens me when I hear friends that I absolutely adore and love tell me that they went through it and how close they came to it. I've had several tell me. And then I think, well, why am I so surprised if I got that close? That this is something that other people haven't felt. You know, sometimes we just think that, you know, oh, I'm the only person on the planet that's going through this. And as I get older, I start realizing that no, that's not the truth. And it even bothers me to think that there might be someone listening to this right now who's thinking about it. And there is no words I could say that could make you stop thinking about it. I could try. And I would try. So if you are feeling those feelings now, or you know someone that might, extend a hand. Let them know you're there. They might not accept it, but you never know. That one conversation could change things. But there are people that don't have anyone to talk to. And for that, I strongly recommend you calling a suicide hotline. They're usually called crisis lines now. Whatever they're called, they're good things. And if they can't talk you out of the way you're feeling, they might be able to lead you to places where you might be able to. I beg you to give your life a chance. Suicide is not an option. Now, some people might argue when you get older and you're very sick and assisted suicide, that is an option, but that's a total different thing. To me, that's not even suicide. That's more like mercy killing. But if you are living a life, I beg you, you need to get help. And if you don't have a friend or someone close that you can talk to, and you can't expect miracles from them. I can have the best friends in the world, but they can't necessarily solve my problems. I might be able to hang with them and realize, you know what, I've got a lot of good things in my life, but they might not be able to say the words, because when it comes down to it, it's you. You are the person that has to say, I want to live. I want to see what the next chapter is. And it doesn't matter how many people are in your corner. If you don't say it, you have to make that decision. And one of those decisions is to make that first call. When I was growing up, there wasn't a lot. But now I've looked online and did some research, and there is a lot of places. And I have some numbers. And just in case your Easter isn't going to be filled with happiness and maybe darker thoughts, here's a couple of numbers I found for you. In the Hamilton area, the Salvation Army runs a suicide crisis line that's 24 hours. It's 905-522-1477. Grab yourself a pen. There is no weakness in admitting that you need help. I'll say it again. 905-522-1477. They also have another number. It's a 1-855-294-4673. Again, 1-855-294-4673. St. Joseph's Hospital has something called COAST, which deals with medical troubles and mental health issues, and they've got doctors, nurses, psychiatrists, everything ready to deal with your problem. Their number is 905-972-8338. Again, 905-972-8338. Now that's for the Hamilton area and surrounding areas. But if you are anywhere in Canada, there's a great website called suicide.org. That's suicide.org. And you can basically go on there and find hotlines for anywhere across Canada, or even specific groups like Jewish or women or teen or anything. You can pretty much find anything there. They have a list of numbers from areas to certain types of people, something you feel comfortable in. I urge you to do that. Please, please. And don't do it for me. Don't do it for your family. Don't do it for your friends. Do it for you. There's more to your life. You need to find out what the next chapter is. Because I would have missed one hell of a ride if I ended it too soon. Anyhow, I'm sorry to leave it on such a somber tone, but it's an important tone, and I have no problems with that. I think we're going to wrap up this show with a little bit of some Easter cheer, maybe like the bunny hop or something, just something a little different, just to liven things up a bit. I've had a great time talking to you, even difficult subjects, I know they have to be dealt with. Anyhow, have yourselves a great Easter, and I will talk to you very, very soon.
Do the bunny hop, 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 hop.